Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Survivor Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter Podcast. This is a podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, my man. I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit tired. I'm hungry. And not just because Liz is hungry, but I'm tired as well because it's late at night. We've waited till Monday to get this podcast done. Had a few issues trying to schedule in with our guests, as well as yourself and me. We've all been busy. And, you know, it's 9:30 on a Monday. And, you know, 9:30 might not seem late to many, but to me, this is well past my bedtime. I mean, I'm not a night owl at all. So if I do fall asleep in this podcast, I apologize in advance.
No, that's completely fine, mate. Give me a 4 a.m. podcast any day of this 9:30 shit. This is 2 hours past my bedtime. I would well and truly be heavily asleep by now. But it's all worth it because we have the man, the myth, the legend. We have JT Deception Island. Yeehaw! How you doing, JT?
I'm going good, Buckles. How are you going tonight, mate?
I'm doing great, mate. Great to see your face.
Thank you very much. How are you, Mac?
Oh, JT, I'm loving it. I'm loving what you're giving us on Deception Island. I think, you're a bit of a fan favorite amongst the viewing lounge, and you've built a bit of a cult following. So I'm loving you at the moment, John Tan.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But, yeah, unfortunately, I did get booted last week. So, yep, show's over now. But, well, not over, but it's over for me now.
Hey, dude, we still get to see you on the jury. This is,
yes,
this
you
is
do.
A, we got a question coming from you, and I'm sure it's going to be a fun question.
Maybe it will be. Maybe it won't.
Anyway, mate, it's not about you tonight. Tonight, it's about season 46. Okay, what are your feelings on the season so far? And start getting us into this episode.
Yeah, so just a bit of a recap on last week's episode and the season overall. I'll be honest with you, the season, it's had a bit of ups and downs for me, in my opinion, when watching it, like, from the first episode till now. There was a bit of, like, a few things that were probably, like, disappointing me, and then some of the players just, like, so I wouldn't say, like, I hate anyone or anything. That there's some that I'm not, like, 100% drawn to, but there are a few good players. I mean, there's a couple of players I do like. There's a couple of players that I cringe watching or get a little bit annoyed with, but, like, some are still entertaining, if that makes sense.
I think we all know who possibly those cringe players are, but at least tell us, who are your favourite player this season? Who's really sticking out to you?
Well, I really like Charlie. I think Charlie is playing a brilliant, is kind of playing a good game. I would actually like for him to win.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you, mate. He would be a great winner for this new era. We definitely love to have someone like Charlie. Mac, I need you back here, mate. What happened this episode? This was the Lizzie Q show. This was Liz and Q, and yet they still didn't even make the move themselves. Like, this whole episode was about that.
Well, I think Liz is sort of the voice of the people at the moment. I mean, a lot of people don't like Q. I love Q, but I think the outburst we saw from Liz at the challenge was sort of everyone at home who's had enough of Q and his antics. And a lot of the players, I think, are on board with this as well. So whilst it was a little bit cringy, would you say, the way it came across, a little bit hangry perhaps, maybe she needs a Snickers bar. Probably couldn't eat it because she's allergic, but it was really a little bit hard to watch for me. How'd you guys take it?
JT?
That one, like, where Liz didn't get chosen on the reward. Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. I do empathize with her. Like, I don't blame her for feeling that way because, I mean, like, you can put yourself in her shoes. You've been, like, not starving for days. I mean, if you haven't been eating properly for days while you're on that island and you just really, really want to win a reward so bad so you can have that, I don't blame you if you're, like, hurt by it. But I think, like, at the same time, you also got to understand on a maturity level, like, you can't hold a grudge against Q or lose your shit at Q over that. Because at the end of the day, Q had to do something for his game. And at the end of the day, he worked hard enough to kind of, like, win that reward challenge. Like, he earned it. She did it. So it was up for him who to choose. And then I think when Q did own her in the end, like, saying, hey, but you know, you did this to me last tribal, da da da. I mean, to be fair, it's like you can't have an expectation of someone to do something nice for you when you haven't done anything good for them. You know what I mean?
No, I look, JT, I completely agree with that. I see this in a very interesting view. I see this as I actually almost want to bring this to Alex from Titans vs. Rebels. On his way out, he has a bit of a go at Kirby. And he's pretty much drawing dead. The frustration's there. People are telling him that he's got a plan, but he knows that there's no plan. And he gets a little bit aggressive at Tribal Council, gets a little bit loud, and it comes out of him. And you've got to think, that's on the back of 30-something days of limited food, limited sleep. And things come out of you, emotions come out of you that you wouldn't normally bring out. Like, it doesn't just come out of you on a day-to-day basis because you're 100%. You're feeling 100%. You're healthy. Liz, in this new era of Survivor where there's very limited food anyway and she's allergic to so much of it and can't eat so much of it, not to mention then you've got the sleep deprivation, you've got the mental fuckery that is the game of Survivor that we all love. It came out. And it probably had to come out. She needed to get that out because she had so many feelings about what happened and not being picked for this reward. Now, she shouldn't have been picked for this reward. If Q did pick her for this reward, he's, first of all, drawing dead because they were never going to work together anyway.
Yep.
Like, he did the right thing. So we can see it from both sides. But you've got to think, like, she is also, in her mind, not that I'm saying this is a good way to play Survivor, but in her mind, she wants to be the big player. She wants to prove to her daughter in the future, when her daughter goes back and watches this, she wants her daughter to see her make big moves. And let's be serious, last week, she was left out of the vote completely.
Yeah.
After a week where realistically it was her move, but it was overshadowed by Q's attempted quick crap. So, like, these emotions just come out of you. And I'm not saying it's right to have a bit of a hissy fit, because, like, I'm not going to beat around the bush. That's sort of what it was. But we also don't know, unless we're in that position, how we'd react. Like, things come up from your childhood. Things come up. All these emotions come up.
Yeah. I want to touch back to what you said about Alex and Kirby. And I think to me, there's a marked difference. I think when Alex was doing it, there was an intentional plan there to put a target on Kirby to raise her threat level, to sort of show everyone she's in charge, to get her voted out. Whereas I don't think Liz was doing this to make you a target or to do anything in that sort of sense. I think it was literally just an emotional response to not getting picked, which is fine because that's a human being response. But I think, like, it's fine to be angry, but the thing she said, I think, was a bit out of line. To say, Q, you blown up my whole game. Like, you have to pick me and all these things. I'm like, you literally just voted for this man. He owes you nothing. Come across as entitled. To say he blew up your spot because you made a move and he took over the tribal council, that's so... I think it's gone too far. And I just think... Like, it was obviously super emotional. She wasn't really thinking about it. She talks about her daughter and this emotional connection she had. And whilst you might have mentioned it before the challenge, like, no one is in your world and no one understands that connection you have with your daughter. You know, you're a single parent. It probably is not that clear to everyone that this is what you guys do every week. It's a full bonding moment. And, like, it would be so special for you to have this Applebee's reward, because I don't think it was that clear. So I think Q owes her nothing. I think it was fine that he didn't pick her. And apparently I've heard in Tiffany's exit interview that both Maria and Kenzie tried to give their reward to Liz, and Q said, no, you cannot. So he really went over the top with it. But you know what? Credit to him. I think it was fine.
Well, no, but in and we'll bring this back to a completely logical, completely social aspect. If he feels like there is no working with Liz, then why would he bring her on the reward? Why would he let someone give up their spot that he wants, that he might be able to work with, he might be able to make a plan with, why would he let someone give up their spot so then she can come and ruin his reward that he's just successfully won?
Yeah.
Like, it makes complete sense from Q's side as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, with that situation, as you guys just said, it was just the emotional response. Like, in the end, she apologized. Like, yeah. And Jeff said, you've got nothing to be sorry for. We totally understand why you're like that. I think a part of her probably realized in the end, like, you know, she sounded a bit stupid. But I think she also just felt like, you know, I don't care. I've kept this inside me for long. I just really wanted the food so bad. My whole game is just fucked up. I just need some nice food in my belly to make myself feel better. So I just think I need to, like, just let it all out just so I can feel a bit better. She said she felt better afterwards. After when she let it out, she let it go. She dropped it. She didn't cause any more drama after that. But, you know, I guess, like, probably wasn't the best idea, but I understand because I think all of us could potentially do that at some stage if we were in a similar situation.
Yeah.
So, but I think, you know, she at least, I think she owns that she probably didn't do the right thing doing that.
She definitely did. Now, I want to bring up some names to you guys. So I want to bring up Owen. I want to bring up Jake. And I want to bring up, what was his name? Romeo.
Romeo. Are these past Survivor players?
These are past Survivor players.
Right.
Okay. So I want to bring these players up. Now, these guys ended up going to the final three with no hope of winning the game, okay? Yeah. Romeo, some could arguably say, was dominating his tribe till Merge, and then turned up in Merge and for some reason just started drawing dead. Mm. This frustration gets to you. This frustration gets to you. We saw Owen and Jake and how emotional they were getting in some of their confessionals. Now, this is the exact same emotion that to a point that Liz is feeling. Mm-hmm. She has really tried some big stuff. She's tried to be a big player. And rightedly, 2 weeks ago, that was her move. I'm pretty sure most people gave her credit. We still didn't agree that the Tevin move was the right move. But we gave her credit for the move. It was just overshadowed by the Q quitting. And that is just, it's just been a stacking on top of each other. It's just been a stacking. Now, talking about Liz and her strategy, let's get off this little reward challenge for a second and let's talk about the strategy of this episode. This went very, very well. We have not seen an idol played this season. All three camp idols had the player that found it voted out with it in their pocket.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting season.
Very shocked by that with a pin. Yeah, Tiffany, I did not expect her to fall for it, especially since I think it was last episode too, like she or like the episode before. She was already kind of like warned that, you know, Q was trying to throw her.
Go for her, yeah.
Yeah, and throw her under the bus. So, like, I was expecting her to, like, you know, at least play an idol just to even just play safe. And then I just can't believe it really worked. And then, yeah, Tiffany, she wasn't too bad of a player. Like, I'll say, like, from the beginning, she was, like, I think she was okay. Like, I didn't mind her. And I think, like, I think how she handled a lot of rough situations early on and the way she did talk to people, even though she had a bit of bluntness and aggressiveness, I think she did it more like a mature way to, I think instead of rubbing people the wrong way, it made people, like, understand her. I don't think she was ever necessarily, like, fake with anyone, if that makes sense. So if we could talk a couple episodes back, I think, remember, like, how with bloody Banu, how he was having an emotional breakdown. She bluntly said to Banu, look, no, I'm not going to talk to you like that if you're going to get on your knees. I want you to get up and stand up and face me like a man and don't beg me on your knees looking sad. And then, you know, she bluntly just said, look, I don't think I can work with you because after everything you've done, I'm sorry. And at least you can respect me. At least she was blunt like that. Hmm.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, I love this talk about Banu because, I mean, who doesn't want to talk about Banu all night? I could talk about
him. I'm gonna fuck off for a second because now that this name's been brought up.
But let's get back to, I guess, yeah, Tiff and the idol. Like Buckle said, three idols found, three idols gone home without being played. And I mean, I've said it many times in this podcast before. You know, don't hoard idols, play the idols, play them and find another one. But I do think in this situation, I think Tiff, she was sort of like, I think she was genuinely blindsided. Like, she wasn't going to be a target. However, yeah, like,
she was blindsided.
Yeah. But I think after last week's episode, using Q as his smokescreen, as Jeff calls it, to get Hunter out, like, it seemed like it was just going to be the same thing again. And to not see that, I guess, is detrimental to Tiff. Obviously, she goes home. But, like, should she have realised that Q would be a smokescreen again? Was Q too obvious to vote out? Do we blame Tiff too much for not playing the idol? What do you think, Bucks?
Yes, I think this isn't just a 1 week plan, like a one night plan. This is like there's been 3 days that this plan's been cooking. Kenzie brings this plan up before the Hunter vote, and so there's definitely been talk about this plan. I feel like Tiff has read it wrong. Now let's be serious. The Survivor players in this day and age are so fucking hard to read. Let's be serious. Almost every single vote out is a blindside. So I'm not saying that I could go on there and read them. I'm just saying, like, this plan was going for 3 days. Q brought it up even before that to a certain extent. So her name is out there and it's going to come up. Is it her fault for not seeing it? No, they probably didn't speak in front of her. But at the same time, I guess she just got that little bit too complacent. Yeah, and having an idol, she talked about it herself last week. She has to play the idol. This has put a target on her back. This is like she needs to get rid of it so then she can come back to even with the players. She got away with it last week. She got that implicit immunity last week. Why not play it this week? That is the optimal move for Survivor. And I know that's why we hate the new era of Survivors, because everyone's playing the optimal move. But the best episodes are when they don't. And Tiffany didn't. She didn't play her idol. She didn't play the optimal move.
No, I just before you jump in there, John, we spoke about it last week about how we should go for players with idols because we have a genuine backup in Q who will catch the votes. We shouldn't be scared of idols right now because Q will always receive votes, so it can't bounce back on, say, Charlie or Maria. So, yeah, I agree. I think the right thing was to go for Tiff, because if idol is played, Q will go home. So Tiff, as you said, she buffed it last week. She probably should have read, it's probably just get rid of it now because they might come after me, knowing that Q is an easy backup. So, yeah, I'll probably change my mind there. I think maybe it was a big mistake there.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake of Tiff to not play the idol. I mean, like, in regards to what you guys said, I totally agree. But I also think, like, I think some people, like, who want Q out, I don't think they're, from what I've seen, they're not really trying hard to push for Q out, but they just want his name to come up in trouble. Because I think after what Q did, like, tried to quit, and then obviously that plan backfired on him as well, like that, they didn't end up, like, buying it. I don't think Q has a chance of winning this season, to be honest,
Oh, that's the biggest hot take of the year, John.
Well, I think. It's my opinion.
No. We agree with you.
But I might not agree.
You don't agree. I'm interested to hear Max's speech now. Okay, you don't agree. Could Q
if you
want to
have a discussion.
Season? Let's have this discussion. Could Q win this season?
Give me a final three of Venus, Q, and Liz, and you tell me that Q doesn't win that.
I think Liz.
I still think Q doesn't win that. Are you seeing the hatred in everyone? Yeah. Ben, Tiff, Kenzie, there is like Liz, like look at Bobby. Not to mention Venus, like these are. That's five out of the final 11. Okay, yes, two of them are on the jury with him, but that much hatred behind him, that's pretty powerful.
Here's the thing. If he can articulate a game that says, hey, I intentionally can, I reckon. That's exactly right. I think he's aware of how he comes across. And if he can tell the jury, like, I've done this intentionally, I've put myself out there as this shield for everyone, as this distraction for everyone to vote out, whoever they want, which worked with Hunter with an idol, Tiff with an idol. And it might happen again with another idol, who knows. But if he's continually the target and they keep getting someone else out, that's great for everyone's game. If he can say, I was used this way on purpose, and he's sitting next to Liz, who's now had this emotional outburst, who's seen as this player who can't get really any traction, and Venus, who no one respects, I see a winning game for Q. Do I think he's going to win? Probably not, but I don't think it's impossible.
I think he's already burnt bridges with Kenzie and Tiffany, Mac, if I'm going to be honest with you, and I can't see them burning for him anymore. Like, they could vote for him over Venus if Venus sits next to her, but I also have a gut feeling like he's pissed them off so much and he betrayed them way too early. I think they'd vote for anyone over him, not just because they're bitter towards him, but I think they just think, like, what he's done was probably the most idiotic thing ever. That's just my opinion, but I don't really know.
Look, I'm going to run with this, Mac. I'm running with this, okay?
I really
love what you said there. That was a good argument. That was a very, very good argument. Now, I'm thinking on the jury, we've got a Hunter, we've got a Tevin. Now, Hunter and Tevin didn't actually go out of the game completely hating Q. Okay? Who else goes out of the game without hating Q? Do you see Maria voting for a Q?
Well, they're working together. They're allies.
Yeah, they're allies. But, like, she is also, like, quite a... Like, just her personality... I don't see her voting that way. Whereas a Charlie, maybe he could swing that. Like, maybe he'd respect the gameplay that Q's done. Now, Q only wins in this scenario, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's going to be Q, Kenzie, and Q, Venus, and Liz. Okay, now let's be serious. Venus lost her power before the merge. As soon as she hit merge, no one had the respect that she had for Venus. Liz seemed to have some sort of respect. This week, I'm interested to know, in this day and age, what happened tonight isn't hated by most people. It'd say 20 years ago, it would have been, and she would have lost the game on that. I'm not 100% sure that this is the nail in the coffin for Liz. And if Liz can articulate the Tevin move, and it ends up being the right move for her game to win, if she can articulate that she was the swing vote at the Tiffany move, I feel like Liz still has an opportunity here. And she is going to pick up those bitter votes, those Tiffany, those Kenzie votes, that Ben's calling Q a bully. He's calling him...
Yeah.
Like, everything under the sun. Ben really does not like Q. He just knows strategically Q is not the right option.
Yeah.
So, I like what you said, Mac. I just don't completely agree that Liz absolutely sunk a game tonight.
Mm.
No, I don't. I think Liz is still
in that scenario. Okay. Yeah, this is one final three out of the final seven.
I think people empathize with Liz a lot. Like, I think it's very understandable why she blew up. I think having all these allergies, like, everyone knows going to the game, you're not going to get any special treatment just because you have allergies, but still you might get sympathy for having these allergies and not being able to eat anything. So I do think people understand that and they won't mark her down for it, especially because it was against Q, a sort of like a person that everyone hates already. So It's not like she's having a go at, you know, Bambi or anything. This is Q. We don't like him already. It's fine.
She's having a go at the big bad wolf.
And honestly, I don't think Liz is that bad. Like, she hasn't done anything too bad or, like, made too many mess-ups, if that makes sense. Like, you know, she's probably made a bit of mistakes, but I don't think she has that much blood on her hands compared to other people. Mm. So, for me, I think she's a little bit okay, you know?
I want to jump in with you with what you said there, JT. Genuinely, I actually think you're right. Let's be serious. Think about all of the stuff that we've heard from Liz this entire season. It's come out in her confessionals. Other than at the start of the season where she sort of had a bit of a gloat about being rich and she gets to pick her man sort of thing. Other than that, the only sort of venomous stuff that we've heard from Liz has come out in the confessionals. And it was just this episode where it just boiled over and came out in the game. So this one little outburst, does that completely sink a game? I don't think so. I think we've seen some good stuff. I think she's respected to a certain extent. And, like, that's... Like, Maria went to her tonight knowing how much she hated Q, and Maria obviously felt that she was more logical than Venus and went to Liz and was like, Liz, I know you need Q out, But let's be serious. This is our one opportunity, and you're the point. You're the point of call. And Liz was able to make that that association with it. She was able to make the right decision and get Tiff out with the idol.
Do you think that was the right call for Liz, especially if we stick with Liz? Do you think if Tiff doesn't have the idol, does she still make the same decision, or is the idol the kicker that gets the line? Do you think?
I think the idol at the final seven is just too. It's too scary.
Yeah,
too scary. I think
if Tiff didn't have an idol, her name would not have came up, because I think they would have seen someone as Tiff. They could see Tiffany as someone they could like logically move forward with, because Tiffany's a kind of logical. If that makes sense, when you like communicate with her.
Mac, we've talked about in seasons past, even before we started the podcast, we talked about this. We talked about how idols in the new era pretty much give you a one-way ticket to the end. You can, if you play it correctly, you pretty much get to the end, because this is such a fast-paced game that idols scare the absolute shit out of everyone, even though they were literally saying phrases at immunity challenges.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that they had an idol. They still didn't have to play it for ages until they got either blindsided or, like, Xander got all the way to the end. Mm. Like, things, like, we've seen so much in the new era that idols just are almost a one-way ticket. Okay? Don't get me wrong, it's a dodgy one-way ticket, but it's a one-way ticket. And now we've finally gotten to this part of the new era where, no, they're like, fuck you. These idols are dangerous. Too many people get to the end with idols. It's time to come down on them, get them out early. Blindside them, and that's what they've done this season, and it's been really, really fun. I think this was the right move completely by everyone.
Can we let's touch on that. I think this episode was a little bit strategy light, so we have a bit of time to talk about something. Yeah, let's talk big picture meta game.
Yeah,
are idols in the new era or before this season, were they such a big thing because of the 26 day game? You air tribal sort of every day or every second day. Is there not enough time to get a proper split vote in place, so we can't split properly to flush an idol? Whereas in this season, having Q there, I really think having this person that is going to cop votes, we can still target idols. That's my belief. Do you think just having the short time in between tribals is just too hard to get a plan together? Is that why idols are so dangerous in the new era?
We are hearing a lot from these players coming out of the game that it's like the last plan's the plan that works. Because it's so fast. It's so fast paced in this new era, that it is hard to get a plan with people that, as we've said, as you say a lot, play the optimal move. Everyone wants to play the optimal move. Everyone has the option to play the optimal move, and they're good enough to play it. It's hard to get a plan together and trust that the plan's actually going to succeed without falling to a backup later in the day.
I think idle is a good thing to have, like, I think any advantage that you end up like getting if you're on Survivor, and especially if you do use it correctly, but whether it's for yourself or for someone else you want to save, I think like you've shown like something good on your resume to show why you're kind of worthy. Like you've done something right in the game so far.
Yeah, it's the easiest way for people to see a move, because I think using something like it's visible, tangible. You can hold it in your hand and say, I'm doing this. I'm playing this for this reason. And yeah, people make good moves with numbers and getting votes here and there, but when you can actually physically see the tribal council, when you're the jury sitting there, it's a massive boost to your resume for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. No, like, that's very well said between the two of you. Right there is, if you play an idol, that is your move. That is on you. That is you've done something. You play an advantage, that's on you and you only. Whereas in this game, we saw it for the soda vote out. Venus takes credit, then Tevin takes credit, then we've got Liz in her confessionals taking credit. No one can really take 100% of the credit, because it needs multiple people to make a move, whereas if you play an advantage properly, that is your move. And that is such a huge thing in this era.
I want to just scroll back to like what you guys were saying before about Venus takes the credit for that soda move, and then Liz takes the credit, and other people take the credit. If those people make it to the final three, and then they say, I did that soda move, then that other person says, I did this. Who do you think the jury would believe more? Because it's hard to, like, sometimes I've watched Survivor for a while, sometimes even if you're the one first person to say to people in the group saying, I think we should do this, and then they agree with you, you might feel it's your move because you're the first one who brought it up, but other people might feel like it's their move because they say, oh, but I think the same thing as this person, blah, blah, blah. Like, how do you manage to own it's your move? Is it just, you just have to be that likable to the jury, or what's the evidence that you can provide?
No. Okay. Look, likability is definitely obviously a thing in any circumstance, but my greatest advice for anyone that's put in this position is you want to own the move and acknowledge your involvement while still acknowledging everyone else's involvement as well, specifically the people on the jury. So you don't, if someone thinks it's their move, you don't want to take the move from them completely. You just want to remind them of how integral you were in what they think their move was, whether it was your move or not. And it's just, that's all about talking. That's all about how you say it at the end. Venus is not going to be able to say that properly. She's going to be like, this is me. I did this. Fuck yeah. Look at me. Bang. And then, whereas Liz has a bit more of a chance of appreciating, just being able to work around that. Q, again, it's all me. It's Q's game. No one else's. Fuck yous all. Whereas a Kenzie would be like, me and Tiff did this the entire game. It was the two of us, not just her, not just me, not just her. I can't take all this credit. And it's all about how you talk. We talk about, well, I want to just flash back to Australia, like Titans versus Rebels. Mark was such a final tribal council threat because of how well he talked.
Yeah.
Being a diplomat, that is what you want to be at final tribal council.
Yeah, I agree.
When everyone's involved in all of your moves.
Yeah, we had this conversation, I think it was like 2 weeks ago on the podcast, about who gets credit. How do you define who made the move? Is it the person who wanted to do it first? Is it the person who wanted to do it the longest? Is it the person who gets all the numbers together and makes it happen? So I think when you're sitting at a final tribal council, I really think having someone on the jury to advocate what you're saying and sort of confirm what you're saying is important, because generally the jury has a lot of information that certain players have. I know this happened, who did it, what happened, and how it sort of all came to pass. So I think having people on the jury to sort of back up your story is super important. And if you don't have that, if you don't have the respect, if you don't have friends on the jury, it's very hard to just say it at final tribal council, because they sit in Ponderosa for a week or 10 days or whatever, sharing stories. And if they've already heard this story a few times from different people, and then you say it, it's confirmed. It's done. It's your move. If you don't have that, it's so hard to bring it up at the last moment and then actually sway people to vote for you. So I do think, having advocates on the jury is massive.
Yeah.
Everyone is the hero of their own story.
I want to talk a bit about Kenzie, guys. As I mentioned to you guys earlier on, that I think Kenzie's been... like, she sort of played a good game, even at the start. Like, she was sort of in control of the tribe when they were losing. But what do you think she... how much of a chance do you think, like, she has of winning? And who do you think she can win if whoever she's sitting next to in the final three?
Oh, I've got some good shit. Sorry, Mac. I'm going to jump in on you.
Yeah.
I've got some good shit. I want to just put this in your minds tonight. Okay. Tiffany's on her way to the jury. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kenzie's like, all like, whoa, like, holy shit, Tiffany's gone, like, really playing that up. And you've got Hunter there, who's the last person voted out. What was the plan when Hunter was being voted out? It was a Tiffany blindside made by Kenzie. Tiffany gets back to the jury, and Tiffany's like, what the fuck just happened? Like, where'd that fucking come from? Hunter's there like, well... Kenzie was going to blindside you last time. Look, don't get me wrong. Yes, it changes as soon as someone else turns up at jury. But does Tiffany go back to Ponderosa? Hunter tells her, well, Kenzie was trying to get you out last week. She might have got it together this week. Does Kenzie get the credit in Tiffany's eyes just for that one night?
Perhaps, but I think long term, I think this is the perfect thing for Kenzie. Losing your number one ally with it's no perfect. Blood on your hands,
exactly.
Getting on the jury. I mean, it's a little bit far from the end without your number one ally, but I think Kenzie has the skills to navigate her way. But Tiffany's now on the jury as an advocate for Kenzie. She was there. Her whole game is now seen by everyone on the jury because they were side by side. I think the big question for me is, Kenzie wanted this move last week, the Tinsy scalp. We see Maria last week saying, oh, Kenzie brought it up, but that was supposed to be my move. And then Maria's done it this week without Kenzie knowing. Does Kenzie now come back next week and say, I wanted to do this, Maria took it off me? Is she going to be upset like we've seen everyone else wanting the credit? She didn't do it. Is she going to be able to handle it? Like, we've seen no one else be able to handle it this season.
Kenzie can handle it. She's logical enough. She knows that this is in her best interest. Her best friend is out of the game and she's no blood on her hands. Tiffany and her going to Final Tribal Council would have been so difficult for her. Mm. It would have been a near... It would have... Those two would have split the votes and whoever was the third person would possibly get the votes that they didn't get. It would have been too difficult of a path going with Tiffany. This is awesome for her. And when the next person... I'm sort of thinking very meta, like, does Tiffany think for the at least one night that Kenzie was actually the mastermind of this plan? As soon as the next person gets voted out, they're going to say, no, Maria actually organized this. Charlie organized this. Ben organized this. This was the Sega 3 that organized this. And Kenzie, then all of a sudden, Tiffany's like, okay, fuck yeah, Kenzie for the win. Kenzie gets to the Final Tribal Council. We got Tiffany on the jury. We all know how loud Tiffany is. I feel like she can sway people. I think this is a great thing for Kenzie. I think Kenzie's got a real chance. The three people I'm looking at still to this day are Maria, Kenzie, and Charlie. They're the sort of the three people to look out for.
Yeah, I agree. Can we also talk a bit about Charlie, please? Because he's kind of like, probably my favorite more out of everyone. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. He's just been so entertaining for me. I feel like he's playing, like, very smart. I don't know. And I just really like him.
He's very likable. He's a likable dude. Yeah.
I think he's kind of player, like, who would be kind of good to be as well, like, if you're in Survivor. Like, he knows how to... Like, he's just very, like, relaxed in himself, you know, and he's always, like, shows he's in a happy mood and... I think he talks very humble in his confessionals, which I like. And then he talks humble in a very, like, playful way, like, trying to, like, have fun and enjoy the moment. And that's why I respect Charlie.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Mac, on the Maria and Charlie move from this episode?
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously running the game. I like the way they both sort of come back from the reward and Charlie's at camp and they share exactly what happened. And they have all the information, whereas no one else in the game is doing that with anyone that we've seen on the camera. So I think they're sort of, as we've said, dictating for a while. Charlie, in particular, playing a good game. My only concern from Charlie now is winning back-to-back immunity challenges. Hunter's gone. Is his threat level just getting a little bit too high too early? Is he peaking too with too long to go? You know, is he too far out to be this threatening? But I don't know if they see his social game and the way him and Maria are controlling the tribe.
I don't know if they, yes, as you said, I don't see if they see that. With Q in the game, he's a necessary evil, okay? Because Q, at the moment, people still want Q out. People don't want to go to the end with Q. We haven't heard a single person saying they want to go to the end with Q just yet. They've said that Q's their number. We've heard Maria say that Q's their number, but that's it. So with Q still in the game, with people like Venus, Liz, Kenzie, who want Q out, Charlie is a necessary evil. And as long as Q's in the game, I feel like Charlie can keep that as a smokescreen, can keep these winning performances as a sort of a smokescreen. But yes, if say Q was to go next week, that would be the worst thing for Charlie. He all of a sudden is target number one. Holy shit. They realize how good of a game he's playing socially as well. And he's gone. So bringing Q to the end is the best thing Charlie can do at the moment. Well, okay, guys, I reckon let's talk about what we talked about last week on the podcast.
Previously on Survivor.
Let's kick it off and see what Sam Cullen, our guest last week, said.
eyes are going to start circling towards Tiff, it's going to become more obvious to her that she's going to need to play her idol. I think that Liz is actually going to go home next week.
I'm sorry, Sammy. You're a little bit off there. Liz didn't go home. Her name wasn't even brought up to go home, and Tiff didn't play her idol.
No, she should have, but that's a no-go.
She should have. She should have. I think you gave Tiff a bit more credit than she could have. About yourself, Mac, what did you say?
Let's have a look. Yeah, I had pretty similar. Like, my question was, can Q survive another tribal council? And I really just think that he will. And Liz is sort of the odd one out, so I do think it's going to be Liz as well.
You were right about at least the Q going. Like,
I'll give my tick for that. Yeah.
There's a little quarter of a tick, half tick, I'll give you. It's like a
yeah.
little...
And the Liz, like the little I thought underline. Liz was listed on the outs, but yeah, obviously she survived, so... yeah, not the best, but not the worst. Let's see. I'll tell you who's got the worst. Let's see what you said, Buckles.
I'm looking forward. Okay, all what right. did I say? I think Tiffany has to play her idol next week, or at least bluff the fuck out of it again. Q, yes, his name will be brought up constantly. I genuinely believe he'll get votes. And I think it's actually going to go on Ben. Okay, yeah, Ben being on the outs. I don't know where the fuck I got that from, but I was wrong. A little bit wrong.
Nah, he sort of found his way in the Seegers now. But I'll give you tips for Q getting votes. Yeah, it seems to be, doesn't it? Last week I poo-pooed that, but I reckon it could be a go. But yeah, Tiff needed to play the idol or bluff it hard. She didn't do that, and then Q got the votes. So I'll give you two ticks for that. And not Ben going home. So it's okay. It wasn't the worst.
It's okay. Well, yeah, Tiff needed to play the idol. I think it all rode on Tiff playing the idol. Okay. Now, there's no idols in the game. So what do we think about next week on Survivor?
Next time on Survivor.
What's happening next week, John?
They might probably go for Kenzie. I think it's a possibility, especially like after what happened. I think Kenzie or Liz could potentially be the targets, but I think if some people can wake up and see a bit of Charlie and Maria's threats, then people might go for them. But I just think I think Kenzie and Liz, because they're very more vocal, I think, and stuff like that, I think like they've now put targets on their back now. So I think, you know, I'll be expecting to see their votes, like votes come their way at Tribal Council next week.
Got to pick one, mate. You got to pick one.
One person. Come on.
Oh, one?
Yeah.
I think Kenzie will probably be getting a few votes.
Yeah. Kenzie's going home.
Who's going home?
Ooh.
Go out on a limb, mate. Yeah. We have no offense sitting here.
Maybe Kenzie might.
Kenzie's going home. JT, you heard it here first. JT says
Kenzie might go home.
No, okay.
Very confident.
We're giving it to JT. All right, so Kenzie's going home. I'm going to jump in on mine. Now, in a perfect world, the right move is to break up the Seegers. Okay? Charlie and Maria are way too close. We talk about this every season of this new era. The closest three, the closest four... Whoever that is, one of them ends up winning the game. So Charlie and Maria, one of them, I feel, unless someone catches on, they are getting to the end. They have the greatest chance of winning this game. So breaking up this Seeger 3 is the optimal move. Can Kenzie, Liz, Hugh, and Venus get on the same page for a vote, the four of them? I don't think so. I think Q has absolutely ruined plans with them. So I'm going to go with Q survives next week. And
I agree.
Yep. And we see Liz go home.
Yeah. So out of nowhere, the Sega 3 have taken full control of the game. Yeah, it was Maria and Charlie. Now it's Ben. It gives them 3 out of 7, which is a massive majority, which, if you think about it, guess who's the swing vote next week? Q. So Ken, yeah. Q sort of can pick a side. He can go with Sega, or he can go with this mismatch of Liz, Venus, and Kenzie, which I can't see that happening. So Q goes with the Segas. And I just think Kenzie's too socially ingratiated to everyone that they won't target her. I'm probably thinking Liz or Venus, but I'm going to go with Liz as my pick as well. So,
okay, guys, let's eulogize. Let's talk about Tiffany. Let's get into it. Let's rank her as a character. Let's rank her as a player. Give it up some memorable moments. And do we think she will return? I'm going to kick this off. As a player, Tiffany was all right. I didn't see anything amazing. I didn't see anything crap. It was all in the middle. She was socially very, very good. She definitely seemed to dominate the early Yanu tribe. And then coming into the merge, she was needed by Q. She was needed by Kenzie. Yes, she sort of disrupted the Q thing, but it wasn't all bad. And when it disrupted the Q thing, people still didn't vote for her. And then when the idol came out, she was able to bluff it 1 week. She misread it this week. I'm saying it's just because of how good this new era of Survivor is. No one's going to let you know if they're voting for you. They're going to lie to your face and they're going to lie very well. I can't leave that completely on her. So as a player, she was decent. She was okay. Nothing special, nothing shit. As a character, fuck, she caused some ruckus at Tribal Council. She gave us a lot of good stuff. She had great confessionals. She's a very outspoken girl. And yeah, I loved every second of it. I could not get enough of Tiff. She was a lot of fun. And I think the most memorable moment for her, I think just her fighting with Q. I think that's it. It's unfortunately, everything centered around Yanu this season. We had Banu at the start. Then we kept going back to Tribal Council. Then we got Q dominating the early merge. And Tiff and Q going at it was a lot of fun to watch. Will I see her return? There's too many people in her archetype that beat her, I feel. I just don't see her returning for season 50. I think 10 years ago, she could have, but we've seen the Michaelas. We've seen like that sort of archetype there, that louder girl, louder, dominant person, and I don't see her winning that. I think a Shaz Chan from season 41 probably has a more dominating sort of arena. What are your thoughts, Mac?
Yeah, I like Tiff. I did like Tiff. I thought as a character, I thought she's good. Like obviously pre-merge, a lot of the Janu tribe, and she was arguably in the best position out of everyone. Her and Q were sort of at the top, and she was seemingly further on top because she had the Kenzie or Q. She could go either way. So was going really well. Got the idol early on. Sort of had the power. I thought she got lost in the shuffle a bit at the merge. Sort of. We didn't see a lot of her post-merge, I don't think, except for like Tribal Council stuff. She got less confessionals. I guess that happens when you're with a tribe of more people. So she sort of started off really strong and then really just tailed off, I thought. But yeah, she seemed a decent player. I thought she sort of maybe needed to do more at merge, or the last few episodes, like really take a bit of power. But you know, everyone's trying to do less and less nowadays, so can't blame her too much for that. Memorable moment, yeah, probably like you said, the fights with Q, that's always fun. Will she return? Probably not, I agree.
How about you, John? What were your thoughts on Tiff?
Look, for Tiff, I think as a player, like, she probably wasn't, like, that amazing and stuff, like, for a viewer to watch. Like, obviously, as for us viewers, we like to see something more interesting, like blindsides, playing idols correctly, or just flipping left and right, you know, or something like that, or just being dominant in challenges. But I think with Tiffany playing the game, I think she played like she did play a good game from like a player's perspective. Like, I think if you're on the island with her, and you are playing the game, I think she's someone you'd kind of look at like someone to work with logically, because she can. I think she's shown that, like, you know, she's someone like who's willing to help someone if you're legit with her.
Very loyal.
Yeah, not just loyal. Like, I think she's very like she can be a good partner instead of like, you know, just a follower, if that makes sense. Like, she doesn't have to be your boss, but she can be your buddy.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good position to kind of like have when you're playing Survivor. So I think as a player, I'd probably give her 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10, maybe. I think as a character, like, she was a little bit entertaining. She wasn't like
jump off the book, jump off the pages entertaining.
Yeah, like, but she, you know, she, but I liked how she was blunt, and like, I also liked how she could handle like situations, like with that Banu incident. You know, I think a lot of people would struggle how to react to, you know, someone like Banu giving you attitude. She really handled Banu very well, I thought. Yeah. And she showed she wasn't scared of Banu or letting Banu like get to her. So that's what I think was pretty good. Do I think she will return? Probably not, but I don't like see the producers of Survivor like being okay with allow. Like, I think like if she, like, she'd be on the list like someone they kind of be with okay returning.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. That, I think that's a good way to say it. I don't think she will return, but I think her name will definitely be brought up in conversations.
Yeah.
I just think there are going to be more strong people in her archetype that will be coming. That will be coming back. Okay, guys, I am ready for my favorite part of the episode. We got Buckle's buff of the episode. I'm going to just kick this off, and I think the person that got my buff, we actually didn't give justice this in this conversation that we've just had. My buff goes to Maria, straight up. She organized Liz. She organized the vote. She seems to have the dominance on the tribe. Obviously, in partnership with Charlie, she was definitely brought to us on camera as running this move. This was all on her. She's the one that's been gunning for Tiff. I don't believe that's completely out of revenge. I believe that's because of the idol. And, yep, I think she pulled it off. I think it was the right move for her. Keeping Q in the game, she seems to have a workable relationship with Q. She seems to be the only person with a workable relationship with Q. That is a number for her. Maria well and truly gets my buff. John, where's your buff go, mate?
It's going to Charlie.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Why?
Why is it going to Charlie?
I just think Charlie has played, like, a really good game. I don't, like, this past episode, I don't recall, like, vote like even being singly cuffed like against him. And I think like the good thing about him, he is in a great position now. I think like when he talks with his alliance, like he doesn't act like the boss saying we should do this. I think he just brings it up like naturally and just say, honestly guys, I have a feeling this and that, but I want to know what everyone else thinks. And people just naturally seem to agree with him, and I think that's very smart to like do that, like if you're in an alliance. So you know, in order to not act like the boss and be aggressive, it's probably best to be like that. You can only be aggressive, like, if you're very desperate to get what you want or being pushy to get what you want. And that could either help you in the, like, get what you want, or could help you, it could just lead you into trouble. But I think for him to do it naturally, I think, like, because he's got, like, that nice personality, I think he's managed to sway people. And I don't think people are paying attention to see how brilliant he's playing. They're just looking at him like a normal person, just helping him out. But really, like, he's kind of like making it his move. And if he reaches the final three, I think he can say it was his move perfectly without putting down anyone in the final three.
And just
you mentioned before, Tim.
Yeah, I want to reinforce that we do hear in next week on Survivor on the episode, we do hear Maria looks like she might be coming out a bit more villainous next week.
Maybe.
That's perfect for Charlie. If all of a sudden they're aiming for Maria out of the two of them, who knows? He might have a ticket to the end. Okay, Mac, where's your buff going, mate?
Yeah, my buff is also going to Maria. I think this episode was sort of like a season-long arc into this culmination of having all this power that she's amassed. She's sort of the only one that sees value in Q. Like, everyone doesn't want to work with him, but she's like Khaleesi. She controls the dragons. Like, I'm not a Game of Thrones guy, but I'm pretty sure that's the apt comparison. If not, she's Davy Jones's heart, and she controls the Kraken. Q's this gun for hire, and she's now got his vote, seemingly. Like, why wouldn't Q continue to work with her? It benefits him. She's built this Seeker 3 plus Q now majority of the game. Found herself in a great spot. She gets taken on the reward because of this thing she's done with Q. So she gets herself a meal. She gets all the information when she comes back after the reward from her side and also from Charlie's side. Her and Charlie seemingly are in the swing position again. How many times have we said that this season? She gets Liz on the side. So she's got a connection with Liz too. She's done everything right. All these bonds she's built the whole game have come to this episode where she's taking control and said, I want to do this. I'm getting Tiffany out. And now she's found herself in a majority at the final seven. Great episode by Maria. And overall, a great season. So she deserves a buff.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, so let's go to the buff leaderboard. So with one buff apiece, we lost Hunter, Tim, Barnu, and Tevin. We still have Liz in the game. And then we jump up to tied second. Kenzie, Maria, and Charlie on three buffs apiece. We, of course, lose Tiffany on four buffs, who was coming in second. And Q with five buffs is still winning this.
Still winning.
I feel like someone's going to bypass him soon unless he can pull some shit out of his ass.
Who's getting a five, but who's getting there?
Who's getting
maybe Maria and Charlie?
Maria or Charlie? Kenzie? Like, let's be serious. Kenzie, Maria, and Charlie—they're the up and comers. It's between them three to win the game. I don't see anyone else winning the game. So
I'd agree with that.
And Kenzie, and as John said, I think Kenzie lost a little bit this episode. It's a good thing for her and a bad thing for her. She's got a tough road to the end. So we talk about how the closest people get to the end of win. And Charlie and Maria are definitely the closest. They have been from the start. Okay, guys, this has been a really fun episode. I can see you both yawning. We're pretty late here. Okay.
Oh, it's late. It's late.
All right, JT, Deception Island, a lot of fun. We saw 100 plus confessionals. You had a good time, mate. I know that we can't talk about the winner yet.
Well, the winner hasn't been decided yet. But look, I had a good time. Got tired in the end, though, so I wasn't too fussed when I got booted, if I'm being honest. But, sometimes I still think a couple of things wish would have went away differently. Like, obviously, there was a bit of, I don't know if they showed in the viewing lounge, but there was a bit of, cheating scandals happening earlier on in the game, which was a bit of a wreck, and that kind of, pissed me off. So I did talk to the host about that, but I think, it got sorted. It still, affected a little bit impact of the game as it progressed, but I just wanted to try suck it up and not let it get to me. But I think other than that,
What else you got going on, mate? Is there anything else going on, and where can people find you?
Oh, no, look, at the moment, I'm just back to my normal life right now, just focusing on work at the airport and army right now. And, that's all I'm just doing. I'm just trying to get on my main goals. Got a few other personal goals I'm working on right now. So one is just trying to get back into Muay Thai and then trying to, attend as many classes as I can to try to compete in our competition sometime this year. And then also just trying to follow up on writing my book journal of my army training, which I think I told very few people about this. But just trying to finish it all up.
That's awesome. Where can people get you, mate? Because you were the star of Deception Island. So I know people want to get a hold of you.
Look, after the final tribal council, when it's over, I'll be added back to the viewing lounge, or anyone, feel free to reach out to me, talk to me a bit about the game. And
just on Facebook, mate?
Reach out to me, send me a message on Facebook, have a chat to me if you want. I'm all eyes and ears open, so yeah.
All right. And Mac, what have you got going on this week?
What have I got? That's a very good question. Well, what am I? Not a lot. Actually, Survivor applications just closed yesterday. I finally got my application in last minute, as usual. So fingers crossed, get a call back for that. And then I'm actually up in Queensland. I'm leaving on Sunday. We're going to 2 weeks holiday, Bribey Island and somewhere else, which I should know, but I didn't book it. So that should be a lot of fun. So not sure where I'll be podcasting next week, possibly from the sunny Queensland. Hopefully. What about yourself, Bucks?
Ironically, I'm going to Queensland next weekend as well.
We should have planned this. There you go.
It's like we planned it. I'm just going to Goldie.
Oh, come up to Bobby Oliver, mate. Come say good day.
Yeah, come say good day. I will. I'll come up for a beer. Yeah, no. So I got the Gold Coast next weekend. I got Melbourne the weekend after.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then we have something interesting coming up. Are we allowed to talk about this, Mac?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. We got something interesting coming up. We are on the Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Why are you coming to Melbourne, Tim?
No, we're doing the Sydney one. We're on the Sydney one. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
So we're at the Amazing Race the week after that. So, like, me and Mac, we're going to kick some ass. We, of course, are the closest duo out of everyone, so...
Give the information. It's run by ALRG, Australian Live Reality Games. It's a one-day Amazing Race. I think it's like 12 hours or something in Sydney City. Should be a lot of fun. I've heard there's going to be some past survivors playing. We can't spoil any names because I don't really know, but I have assumptions. So it should be a lot of fun, and I'm pretty sure we're the short price favourites to win.
Yeah, we've got
it. Is it both of you going Amazing Race together?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a team. Yeah. Banter boys.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll be interesting. It will be, especially because I've never watched the Amazing Race. So I'm a Survivor purist. I only watch Survivor.
Actually, while we're talking about it, they've asked for if anyone wants to help out on crew that day, or get in touch with us and we'll put you on to the right people, or just go to Danny Melville directly if you know who that is. Or just hit up our socials, send us a DM, and we'll put you to the right people. There's a lot of fun. You get to meet some cool people in the community who do a lot of Survivor stuff as well. So if you're interested in helping out for a day, yeah, it could be cool.
Okay, guys, this has been a really fun episode. If you've enjoyed it, don't forget to hit us up on Facebook at Survivor Buffs Blindsides and Banter. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS, Twitter or X at Survivor3BS. And of course on TikTok at Buffs Blindsides and Banter. I've been Buckles. You've had JT. This has been great. Thanks, Mac.
I was here too. I was also here, if you didn't realize.
Yeah, but JT's the star, man. JT's
we
star.
Can say my name at least.
I've been Buckles. I've been Buckles. He's been Mac. And JT was here. In the studio with us. Not in the studio, but yeah, at home. See you guys.
You've been a dickhead is what it is. See you guys. Bye.
Is this Survivor? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.